For any sized gift before Easter Sunday, April 4th, we'll send you my new children's book, They Shall Never Perish. You can make a secure online donation at thewordendures.org, and you can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you They Shall Never Perish.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
All right, for you C.S. Lewis fans, think Aslan. Think of how he was never opposed to inflicting pain if the pain could heal.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Hosea.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. In the first part of Hosea chapter 5, we heard Yahweh summon the priests, the house of Israel, and the king to pay attention and listen to his word. And that word was terrifying. Judgment. Judgment is coming. They'd been caught in a demonic trap by their idolatrous worship, and now he's preparing to correct them. It's going to be hard going. He knows Ephraim and Israel, but they don't know him, and their deeds won't permit it either, nor that mysterious spirit of whoredom that holds them enthralled. Their pride testifies against them, and he foretells that Judah will not heed the warning to avoid Israel's path. He denounces a mechanistic worship that merely tosses offerings his way, but has no genuine repentance or faith to it. He withdraws from such and renders verdict upon his people as faithless, having raised their children to be mere heathens. Moving on. A reading from Hosea, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 8th verse. Blow the horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Sound the alarm at Beth-Aven. We follow you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall become a desolation in the day of punishment. Among the tribes of Israel, I make known what is sure. The princes of Judah have become like those who move the landmark. Upon them I will pour out my wrath like water. Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in judgment, because he was determined to go after filth. But I am like a moth to Ephraim and like dry rot to the house of Judah. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king. But he is not able to cure you or heal your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. Even I will tear and go away. I will carry off, and none shall rescue. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Hosea 5, verses 8 to 15. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word, as befits it, may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached and taught to the joy and the edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So you're ready to dig into the Word of God for today? Let's do this. Verse 8, blow the horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah, sound the alarm at Beth Aven. We follow you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall become a desolation in the day of punishment. Among the tribes of Israel, I make known what is sure. We don't know for certain, but it sounds like the context has shifted here historically. We've moved from the good economy and the prosperous times under the long reign of Jeroboam II to the disastrous attempt of Syria with Israel to depose King Ahaz of Judah and put in a man of their own liking, which of course would do away with the house of David, on which the salvation of the whole world hung. Ahaz, at that dire moment, sought help from the Assyrians under Tiglath-Pileser III, and that actually results in the end of the northern kingdom in 722 BC. Under the Assyrians, who, of course, won't stop at Israel, but proceed to march on the southern kingdom too. So the horn you hear about here is a war horn, a trumpet of warning, announcing to the people impending invasion. These are all Benjaminite towns. And remember, that tribe straddled the north and the south, with the result that these places changed hands more than once. If the Israelites had taken them from the Judeans with the help of Syria, now the tables were turned, and the Assyrians were preparing to take them from Ephraim, and there won't be much left of Ephraim when Assyria is done. Desolation? Well, that just means emptiness. The day of punishment will involve the removal of the people from the land. Yahweh, or Hosea, speaking for Yahweh, makes known what is sure. In other words, there is no gainsaying this prophecy. It's going to happen, just like Yahweh says. St. Cyril of Alexandria, writing in the 5th century, wrote, "I showed my words as sure and true, for they, as I have already predicted, were not deceived by any of my words. And since they turn away from their former customs and lost their good mind, they were expelled even from their territory. Similarly, they were banished from God's kindness and every prosperity." Verse 10. The princes of Judah have become like those who move the landmark. Upon them I will pour out my wrath like water. Hosea denounces Judah, even though it was Pekah and Rezin from Israel and Syria who picked the fight that ultimately led to the north's demise. By inviting Assyria in and forming an alliance with her, the southern kingdom subjected itself as a vassal state to Tiglath-Pileser III. But that allowed Judah to move into territory that had never belonged to her, territory that belonged to the north. The prophet likens this as an opportunistic land grab, as the moving of ancient landmarks. Do you remember Deuteronomy 19, verse 24? "You shall not move your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set in the inheritance that you will hold in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess." This stealing of northern territory results in Yahweh's announcing that he will pour his wrath out on the south like water. St. Cyril again on that image. "For hard to bear and insufferable and entirely irresistible are the things stemming from the divine wrath, like a disagreeable, strong, and excessive rush of waters." St. Jerome, one of the four great doctors of the Latin Church, sees in this verse the profound truth that when judgment falls on Judah by the Babylonian army of Nebuchadnezzar, flooding it is actually going to be Yahweh's wrath, and that king will only be executing that wrath. Verse 11. "Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in judgment, because he was determined to go after filth. But I am like a moth to Ephraim and like dry rot to the house of Judah." So, though the judgment that is crushing comes from the hand of Yahweh, it comes because of the sin, the rebellion of the northern and the southern kingdoms. Ephraim, the north, is crushed in judgment because he was determined to go after filth, which is just a way of saying the filthiness of his idols with their disgusting worship. And so God threatens to be a moth to Ephraim, consuming away, and like dry rot, also to the house of Judah. God's judgment eats away at both houses. It's as we confess in our general confession, I've deserved your temporal and eternal punishment, which is just saying that God is never unjust at all when he visits any such upon us. We're as guilty as Ephraim or Judah. Verse 13. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and said to the great king, "But he is not able to cure you or heal your wound." One of the recurring themes of the prophets is to call Israel, Ephraim, and Judah away from thinking that the answer to what ails them is found in striking up just the right political alliance. Instead of turning back to Yahweh, they turn to princes. Maybe they forgot entirely the words David taught Israel to sing. "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them." Psalm 146, verses 3 to 6. Ephraim went to Assyria then is probably a reference to Hoshea, the last king, after he murdered the previous king, Pekah, trying to pay tribute and become a vassal state. But Assyria cannot solve the problem, nor can Egypt, nor can any flesh and blood. The sickness that afflicts these people, it takes the great physician to cure, just like you or me. Verse 14. "For I will be a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will carry off and no one shall rescue." All right, for you C.S. Lewis fans, think Aslan. Think of how he was never opposed to inflicting pain if the pain could heal. And also think of the account from 1 Kings 13 of the man of God whom God sent to warn Jeroboam the first about his idolatry and who was told, "Don't you eat in Bethel," but who was deceived by the old prophet and who disobeyed. And he ate and then was killed by a lion as he was going home. But the lion stood by the body without tearing it, and it stood beside the man's ass without tearing it either. I think these are where Lewis got the idea from. Well, and of course, Genesis and Revelation, Judah is a lion's whelp and the lion of the tribe of Judah. God's likening himself to a lion, though, is to get the idea across. You think the king of Assyria or Babylon or Egypt is the great king who can rescue you from my hand? Did you forget who the king truly is? I will carry you off. That's going to happen for the North in 722 and for the South a century and a few years later. And then God proceeds to wait. You remember the way Hosea told Gomer she'd have to wait, but that he'd wait with her and for her. Verse 15. "I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me." Wait, God has a place? What does that mean? "I will return to my place." St. Cyril of Alexandria, writing in the 5th century, he helps us out. "For the divinity is altogether unlimited by any place, but it is said to be present in certain places when he shows his grace. But it is said, in turn, to be absent from those who have sinned when he turns away from them by driving his kindness back, for one speaks of God in human terms." So if we hear God going back to his place, we need to hear that as him going back to his place of mercy, of grace, of kindness, and of love after the time of judgment, to the place he wants to be for us when we acknowledge our guilt and seek his face in our distresses and seek him for real, earnestly, not just with sacrifices tossed his way in a perfunctory manner. That's where we're going to have to stop today, people loved by God. Next time, though, we move into some of the most important and beautiful verses of the entire book, and they were set up for you right now by what you just heard. If this is Yahweh waiting to be gracious, then next we'll hear when his people come home and what they say to the one who is waiting for them, who has indeed torn and who alone can heal and even more, raise them up from the dead. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. For any size gift before Easter Sunday, we'll send you Pastor Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.